views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Oh, welcome to Voices of Women. So we're almost here at the winter solstice happening Sunday. And, you know, it can be a very special time. I would invite you to plan how you might take advantage of this. It's a potent, sacred time. We also have this December, we have for the solstice, the Capricorn new moon is also happening. And so I've been reading up on this with my friend Lisa Michaels, and she talks about creating the space at this busy time of year, because it is, to take advantage of this energy of this Capricorn new moon, and because Capricorn is the most grounded planner archetype of all. So if you're working on manifesting anything, it will give you that assistance you need to work with this archetype. And this double sun-moon timing is very powerful. She also says there's not going to be another Capricorn new moon until 2016. So what she suggests is that you begin generating a gratitude list in your creation journal to help you towards manifesting. And you could ask yourself these questions. How do I break through my current manifestation ceiling? How do I fully and quickly activate my next level of manifestation capacity? And then how do I manifest blank, whatever it is, and by what date? And she also says to acknowledge your influence on creation and to look at what do you really desire to spend your life energy on experiencing, and to tune into where you are at the close of this year is a great time to ask yourself these deeper questions. What's truly important for you in the next year? What do you want to grow in your life and your business? And if you had no limits, what do you long to experience? So those are great questions to ask yourself at this time of the solstice and this time at the end of the year. And also, don't forget to gift yourself with a Woman of Wisdom experience. We are, you know, here in Seattle, February 12th through the 16th. Check it all out on the website, womanofwisdom.org. Just click the 2015 conference. The unique thing is you can attend any one event you want to. You can choose 2-3 events. It's all individually priced. And we still have our early bird specials through December 31st for our featured guests, Jean Shinoda Bolen, Patty Conklin, and Penny Pierce. And you can listen to their interviews from this show in the archives on the TransformationTalkRadio.com website. And listen to what they have to say about their topics and their expertise. They're amazing women. So visit the website for their full information about the conference and what they're doing at womanofwisdom.org, and take advantage of the early bird specials. Well, again, I'm interviewing two Women of Wisdom presenters from the Seattle region today, Melissa Rosenberger and Melissa Lucia. So first, we'll be talking to Melissa Rosenberger. She is a shamanic healer and teacher and the co-founder of Seattle Says. I'm not going to say this right, but she'll correct me. It's an organization dedicated to bringing the ancient practice of Says into a modern context to benefit communities. She's the creator of The Well and the Tree, offering transformational classes, which include The Sacred Ways of Women, which is a 9-month course in the mystical traditions and practices of women. So Melissa also has a background in neurobiology and East Asian medicine, is also a writer and a musician. She's going to give a workshop on Sunday, February 15th. It's called The Vulvas of Size, I guess. It's Wise Women of Northern Europe. At least I can say that part. You can check her website out at www.melissarosenberger.com. So welcome, Melissa.
Thank you. Chris.
Now that I've probably butchered those words, and it's, you know, I love it because it's this my Norwegian heritage to come across new things. I know these weird vowels they have in Norway, and that they're impossible for us to pronounce.
But it's been a learning process for me. Yeah, so it's scythe is how you say it.
Scythe.
Exactly the last time. Yes, yeah, scythe.
Size, yeah. Yep. Okay, yep. Well, let's talk about what size is and what is a size practitioner?
Yeah, that's a great place to start. So size is it's a little bit different what it was historically versus what it is today, because it hasn't been a preserved lineage across time. But what it was historically was this tradition from the pre-Christian areas of Germanic and Norse areas of Europe. And it was basically the name of their wise women, their seers, their oracles, their spiritual healers and guides. And there were these women called Vovas who were kind of outside the normal bounds of Norse and Germanic society. They were these wise women, and they would travel around and they would practice what's called scythe, which is basically a shamanic spiritual practice, a way of going into altered states of consciousness and connecting with spirits, in particular, in this case, the spirits of the Norse and Germanic traditions. And so today, what it is a revitalization of the practices of shamanic connection to these Norse and Germanic spirits. It's, you know, the caveat is that it's not a preserved tradition. We're not saying that we're doing it the same way that they did in ancient times. But what we do have is access to some of the same energies. And of course, we have access to spirit and the particular tutelary beings of Scythe, which are Freya, Odin, the Norns, and Hela from the underworld. And so it's basically today it's a shamanic practice that is oriented towards accessing those energies and powers so that we can benefit today's world. So we're a little different, and we're not attempting to recreate the past. There's very little evidence that there's very little information from the past that we could use to recreate a practice. So in essence, it's a modern day practice that's derived from that ancient one, to whatever extent we can.
Mm-hmm. And we do have the myths, the stories of, you know, Freya and Odin, and do you capture those in your practices?
We do, and we will more so, because I've actually found an excellent source for there's a woman named Maria Kvilhaug, K-V-I-L-H-A-U-G, I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly, who has a website, and she actually approaches the Norse myths from a shamanic spiritual perspective and talks about them as the kind of the hidden messages and the hidden meanings behind them, which brings a lot of richness. Yes, we can access through the Norse myths definitely some quote-unquote hidden knowledge that is applicable today and is universal in application. So absolutely. Yeah, but we do want those. I do have Germanic and a little bit of Scandinavian heritage. So size kind of is close to home for me in an ancestral sense, but we do also want it to be accessible to people of any heritage and make it kind of a universal offering of spirit more than a specific offering of, you know, people basically don't have to be interested exactly in the Norse cosmology and mythos to be involved in scythe.
How did you get interested in this, to make this your calling to be teaching it and have this organization?
Yeah, I became interested in it because I, a while ago now, I was introduced to shamanic practice, and it was something that I was very new to me, and I hadn't necessarily been seeking out. But I had a teacher who was based in the Native American shamanic traditions, she's Native American, and so my introduction to spirit and to shamanic work was through those traditions and the sharings of those traditions, which was wonderful and beautiful. So I was doing that for a while, for several years, and came across an offering by Betsy Bergstrom, who's a local practitioner, and she offered an initiation into scythe practice. She studied with people in Europe. There's a few groups around in the United States and in Europe who are working towards bringing size into a modern context. And so I did the initiation series through her, and it just really struck me as something I wanted to be doing and I wanted to be offering. I hesitate to say it's because of my heritage. I there may be, of course, an element of that. I would say that I felt size kind of at a level that I had not yet experienced before in my practice. But I find that a lot of people feel that way about size, where it just kind of penetrates to a very deep level of, I don't know, of a soulfulness and of spirit. So it really resonated with me. And I was inspired with a colleague and friend, Michael Radzyszewski, to provide sides. So one of the parts of the initiation was that we did these things called high seats. And we were initiated into high seat practice, and we did practice high seats, and we did high seats as part of the initiation process. And found them to be really powerful ways of interfacing with spirit in a way that's meaningful and compassionate and just very helpful. And we wanted to be able to offer that to our greater shamanic community. We have a pretty broad shamanic community in this area that's based in the Native American tradition and core shamanism practices. And we wanted to offer size as well, not just to other shamanic practitioners, although we, of course, welcome them to be trained in size and participate, but also just to our communities, because we found it to be a very powerful way of bringing kind of good medicine into our lives.
That's good medicine. Well, this is Chris Danis. You're listening to Voices of Women. We're going to come back and talk more about this ancient system with Melissa Rosenberger.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at Andrew Tweet Geo? Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at YoAndrewNTS.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, your host, and I'm talking with Melissa Rosenberger, and we're talking about the size tradition of the Nordic wise women of Northern Europe. And so I'm finding it quite fascinating. But there's another, so you also mentioned the vulvas. Who were the vulvas?
Yes, the vulvas, one translation of that is, you know, some kind of priestess or witch, perhaps in the sense of the wise woman aspect of that archetype. So they were these women who were really free from the conventional bounds of Norse society, where the traditional woman perhaps would have, you know, family and home, and she'd stay close to home. She would, that would be her role. The vulvas were not bound by family, and they were not bound by clan even. Your clans are very important to the Norse. But they were free of those social distinctions because their purpose was to serve from a place of spirit. So they traveled. And so they either traveled by ship or by foot. And they would travel around and they would be of assistance. They would be invited to come to different communities and serve as guides, as oracles, perhaps as healers, definitely. So. And in these communities they were invited to, they were treated very much with respect. And so what we see with the from the archaeological evidence and from the evidence from what's called the Eddas and the sagas, the content we have from those describing those days, they were welcomed into these communities, and they were given a place of prominence called high seat, which may be would maybe be reserved normally for the clan head, but they would be given a place of prominence and they'd be treated with respect. And also, and actually, one of the biggest and most extravagant burial mounds in Norway, called the Osberg Mound, is actually a burial for two vulvas. And this is an extravagant burial that was even possibly greater than they find with royal burials. So they obviously had a lot of prominence in the culture, and were respected.
Yeah. And so they were, you say that they kind of gave they were there to serve, but were they healers or were they more just sort of the oracle, the shamanic, like would they lead people in shamanic practices in those villages or people come to them with their problems? How do we even know?
Well, we're not sure, but probably both. And we have one account of a high seat. It's from the saga of Eric the Red. And in that high seat in particular, this woman is invited as a vulva to this community because, yes, they're having problems within the community. And they need her, in this case, kind of oracular advice. The community participates in that. They actually, and part of the tradition of a scythe practice that we also use today is that she would be sung out. There would be these spirit songs that would sing her out on these trances. So the community would kind of contribute as far as helping her go into trance, but she served a kind of universal shamanic function, which is she would access the spirit world and from that place either bring back, you know, healing energy or bring back information that may be of benefit to the community. So both functions were served. But she did not necessarily lead the group in trance. She was she went on trance, and actually in our high seats that we do now, that's how it is too. We as a community sing out the practitioners so that they can go into a trance state, a conscious mediumship state is what we call it. And they, from that place, either bring back information. And when I say oracle, I don't mean future prediction, but just being able to see maybe from a broader perspective than what we see. And we do healing high seats. So we kind of distinguish between those two, but of course they're not mutually exclusive.
Well, I have a question about that. So when you do, so how that translates to now, to what you do now in the shamanic practice. So if you're singing out someone, is it one person that does the trance, or do you have a group trance sometimes too, where a group of practitioners will go into trance?
We have either. So it can be one or it can be a group. A group in this case would be three for an oracular high seat or four for a healing high seat. So we can do it just one. And we have. We find that when we do three for an arachidal high seed, it's actually it actually creates a very interesting dynamic to interface with, but also allows it's hard to stay on a high seat as a practitioner for a long period of time. It can take quite a bit of energy as a human conduit for a transmission of energy. So if you have three practitioners up there, they can stay longer on the high seat and provide more of that transmission for the community.
So my sense of like some of the shamanic practices is you might be going in and question. Does someone present a question that you are going into trance about? Does that happen?
Yeah.
Or
essentially, though, the trance goes first. So we start the high seat with the community singing the vulvas out on their journey. And when they're ready, there's a way for them to indicate that they're ready, that they're in that space. And then from that space, we have we call them seekers. So anyone who wants to come approach the high seat will do so. And then at that point, they can either ask a question or they can ask for a blessing or anything, basically. They don't come out of trance in between people. We can do probably about maybe 6 to 8 people per high seat, but we'll just do them as a series, not as individual journeys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so
go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's fine.
Yeah. So the practitioners in that, we call it going to the place where the answers are. So they go to that place shamanically, and then they're just there. And from that place, they speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how does this compare with other shamanic traditions, do you think? You've been involved in other ones, too.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely some overlap. There's a few kind of distinguishing characteristics of Side, which is the use of song. Of course, there are those shamanic practices that use singing for trance induction, but it does use the song for traveling into trance state. The use of the staff, the very close association with the tree of life, the staff is a major medicine object for practitioners. And the other distinguishing feature, as best as I have distinguished it at this point, is that it is a state of, it's a mediumistic journey process in which there tends to be, relative to other shamanic journey processes, it tends to be very much a it's not so much that you're going through a terrain, or you're going to different places, or you have an awareness of traveling through other worlds. You kind of have an intention to go somewhere, and then you're kind of there. And it's very much an embodied state. The place you're at has a very strong presence, a very strong field, if you will. And it just, you know, there's just a different quality to it than there is to other shamanic journeying, which for me at least, and this is possibly not true for everyone, it's kind of, I'm aware that my consciousness is going somewhere and I'm viewing a process, and there's definitely could be a felt access to it, but it can be a little bit more in the realm of my inner visioning. And Side is very much a full embodied journey state, and it's a change of medium. It's a mediumship process as much as it is a journey process, if that makes sense.
Yes, and I know it's different. And I mean, there is the shamanic journey, and the Michael Harner does, and that's you go to there's a lower world and an upper world and a middle world, and you purposely go to different places.
Right. You can purposely go to other places with the Side journey, but there's also a little bit more of an open-endedness, at least to the high seat process, because in the high seat journey, well, we're not going somewhere specific. We're going to, quote-unquote, the place where the answers are, or, quote-unquote, the place where the healing is. And so we're not saying, you can say I'm going to the Tree of Life, you can go to the Tree of Life, but in the function of the high seat, it's a little more open-ended. And so you're more embodying the place where the answers are, and you're embodying the place where the healing is, and you're transmitting that energy through your staff or through the spoken word from the high seat. But it's a little bit less of a specific location in that sense.
Yeah, well, and you're intending yourself to go to the right place. Well, let's talk about this how this relates also to the divine feminine. because I in something I read, there was you know, something about it, this work brought about a balance of the masculine and the feminine. And then, mm-hmm. So how does that play out?
Yeah. So they were both masculine and feminine, male-female practitioners. And but Side was considered a feminine practice. It was very closely related to Freya. Freya is considered like the mother of Side. And one of the myths, actually in one of the Eddas, it talks about her teaching Odin Side. So Side comes from the divine feminine and was taught to Odin, who, you know, from the masculine, also represent kind of our human consciousness. And so that is an example of one way in which there's been this kind of like exchange. Also, Freya has both, I'm kind of skirting on something because there's a historical, so there's also two groups of, general groups of gods. One are called the Vanir, one are called the Aesir. We're familiar with the Aesir as being the Asgardians, that come through in ways in popular culture. There was this exchange between Freya and Odin two ways. One, Odin learned scythe from Freya, and Odin's from the Aesir, Freya's from the Vanir. There's this exchange of scythe where she teaches Odin scythe, and there's also this exchange where Freya is, as part of a truce between the Vanir and the Aesir, Freya joins the Aesir as well. So she has both Vanir and Aesir qualities to her, which can be kind of metaphorically thought of as she has this the wild natural feminine element, and also kind of upper world light consciousness element. You can see her as a Valkyrie, for example. You see her in armor. There's just upper world.
Yes, and I'm going to tell people that to learn more, you're going to have to come to her workshop Sunday, February 14th. So check that out on the Woman of Wisdom website. And you can learn more also from her website, melissarosenberger.com. So thank you so much, Melissa. We'll see you in February. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. This is Christina. Bye-bye. You're listening to Voices of Woman. We're going to come back and talk with another person, Melissa Lucia, who will be at WOW.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, THYNE.com.
Get sophisticated with David and Philip Zarza. David and Philip touch on topics such as human potential, spirituality, pop culture, and purposeful living. Experience an insightful reading from David on what the universe has in store for you, or reconnect with a departed loved one. Philip can look into an issue or anything else you may be dealing with. Go to getsophisticated.com. That's SOPHISTIGAYTED.com or call 206-420-8660.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. I know you've heard my friend and colleague, John G. Sutton, on my show. Well, guess what? He is now going to be a regular each month. I know many of you have experienced John live on air and how absolutely incredibly accurate he has been. So guess what? He's going to be joining us every month. For those of you that want to find out more about John and schedule your amazing session, go to psychicworld.net. Don't forget to stay tuned and tune in for John G. Sutton on the Dr. Pat Show every month.
A Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm now going to be speaking with Melissa Lucia. She's another Woman of Wisdom presenter, and she's an artist and an adventurer. She spent 2 decades immersed in Norse, African, and Native American sacred traditions, cross-cultural divination, indigenous dream work, and archetypal psychology. After the death of her husband, she created the Visionary Oracle of Initiation deck. And she has experience like being tribally painted within a subterranean graffiti tunnel in New Mexico, dancing alone and nude and painted, and we're going to hear about that. She sells her decks and prints on her website, and also offers workshops, readings, and spiritual initiation counseling with the Oracle. So you can check her website out at oracleofinitiation.com. And she's giving a workshop on Monday, February 16th at Woman of Wisdom. It's called Artemis Return, Reclaim Your Wild Feminine Through Oracles. So welcome, Alyssa.
Thanks, Chris. Nice to be here.
Yeah. So you grew up in, and I know your art. When you were in Seattle, I've seen your art, and so I'm aware you grew up in a family of artists. And so, how has that informed your work and your life and where you've come to now?
Well, growing up in a family of artists, the people that I was surrounded by looked at the world differently than the general culture is. Everyone worked for themselves. And they all made a living doing what they loved, and they were obsessed with beauty. And so as a young person, I always had this sense that I could do whatever I really wanted to do, and that if I really worked at it and the fates conspired, that I could be successful at it. And I, as an adult now, I realize not everyone got that, and I feel so blessed.
Yeah, it's not easy, and it's not easy for artists to make their way. You know, a lot of artists have to have other jobs to survive. So it's great that you have that archetype, that model for you.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, some of the work you do is initiation. So what have you been influenced by initiations along your path?
Well, initiation to me is something that is primal to the human condition. There's something about this process that we go through, the evolution, the development of the human psyche, of our bodies, of ourselves as people in community. And so to me, initiation is something that we've lost touch with in some ways in our more industrialized culture, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't still happen. And so part of what I've looked at my life as, and this came later in my life when I really started to look at life from a more holistic spiritual lens, I really realized that many of the things that I saw that were hard or that I still had pain over or grief or attachment to, that many of those things were actually initiations, but I hadn't looked at them that way, and no one knew to tell me that. No one knew to tell me, well, you're a mystic, and you're being trained. This is part of your training. And so for me, initiations are from the smallest things, the daily things that happen, to the largest things, such as my husband dying when I was 33 and he was 37. And I went on a 7-year vision quest to find who I really was. And so to me, initiation is one of the frameworks of looking at your life and having the potential to reframe the things that you perceive from a victim place and find the power and the beauty in them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you mentioned that one, and it's quite a large one, when you have someone, your husband passing, that's a big initiation. What about a small one, to give an example to people of what, because sometimes we don't see them, or as you said, we don't always recognize them as an initiation.
Well, maybe this one isn't small, but I've been noticing for myself as of late. I'm German and Scandinavian ethnically in this lifetime, and I have a very determined side of me. And I've noticed that I've been being gentler with myself, and that there have been little things, my part of myself that loves to exercise, Well, it's cold, and some days it's cold and raining. And my body says, I don't want to go outside. And I don't. And so to me, that is an initiation into honoring yourself and finding more balance and more centeredness. So it can be something small about honoring who you really are and not just the shoulds. And so I also think that those small things can really build up to become really enormous, powerful things over time when you just keep up a steady pace with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I want to get into about your Oracle deck and your Oracle and the use of that. And one of the terms that you've used is rainbows in the dark. And it relates to your Oracle deck, I know. And so what do you mean by that?
It's one of the phrases dear to my heart, Chris. When I was creating the Oracle deck, it took me 6 years to do the entire project, do all of the artwork, design the deck, and then write the 400-page book that accompanies it. And the artwork came about halfway through when the whole structure had been designed, and that's a whole enormous story unto itself of in the midst of the pilgrimage and moving to Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I've always loved hip-hop. I've always been a hip-hop fanatic, and to me, that's African roots for all of us, the storytellers and the griots. But I had found in Santa Fe some wonderful graffiti hidden down in tunnels because it's illegal most places. So the artists that do it tend to do it in shrouded underground worlds. And I found some that just resonated in my body in a way that was extraordinary. And I had been doing some photography on the land, nude photography on the land, for about a year and a half. And I had this epiphany about tribally painting myself and taking these nude photos down in the graffiti tunnels. And I'd been waiting for the artwork to come through for the Oracle deck, and it wasn't having all of these dreams about animals and human shape-shifting, and it was magic. I thought, how in the world am I going to have imagery that's that alive? Everything that I was doing that was 2D wasn't making it. So I ended up going and finding some paint and covering myself in soil and taking photographs that were animals and human shape-shifting, and they look like they were taken between the veils, and like petroglyphs coming alive off of the cave walls. And part of what emerged was that there was this graffiti behind these animalistic, very pagan, very shamanic images, and I realized they look like rainbows. And so as I was writing the book that accompanies the deck, I realized that part of what happened was after my husband had died, my entire world was shattered. I wanted children so much. I have this Martha Stewart side to me that likes order and wants a pretty life and wanted children and all of that. And the rainbows in the dark to me is this analogy about this paradox that in anything that's challenging, and also darkness can be richness, it can be the void, but there are these rainbows, there's this magic that is your greatest gifts and powers, but you need to figure out how to access the underworld and claim the power, the illumination that's available. So the rainbows in the dark is this analogy about how are you going to take the things that are your greatest struggles and alchemize it and have them become your greatest gifts, which is, you know, one of the great spiritual tenets is whatever is most difficult in some ways has some great wisdom and truth and gifts for ourselves and others. And so that's where the rainbows in the dark comes, is this illumination in the underworld that's a gift.
Yeah, and we're so, you know, it's something we're kind of afraid of. Those, we want to hide in those shadows. We don't want to look at those shadows that are part of us. But you're right, there actually are some gifts there. And that's why, you know, your workshop, you talk about reclaiming and, you know, through that Oracle work of reclaiming. So, and you had to overcome a lot of fear and anxiety to claim your adventuresome spirit. And how did you do that?
Well, that also, I think, is really an essential part of the story is I'm incredibly sensitive, like many of the people who will be listening to this conversation and many of the people who are drawn to metaphysical things. And being such an empath and so sensitive, very affected by the energies of those around me and the energy of places. And so for many years of my life when I lived in Seattle, I was incredibly anxious, as well as depressed. And part of that to me was the wounded healer training, shaman training. But part of what occurred after my husband died, my anxiety was just free-floating. I would try to find anything to latch onto that I could be anxious about. And really, when he died, it was like, okay, pretty much the worst thing that I could imagine happened. There we go. The roof caved in. The roof actually finally caved in. I mean, we all have our stories of what's happened. And so that after that happened, I'm a very adventuresome, excited person. I'm very curious, and I decided I'm not going to let this life go to waste. I'm going to deal with my anxiety and my fears, and I'm just going to go be alive and passionate and do what I want to do and move beyond the fears. And
yes.
I did.
Yes. And that's great. And I'm sorry I have to interrupt you, but that's great that you've done that. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and we'll come back and talk more with Melissa Lucia.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women, and I'm having this delightful conversation with Melissa Lucia. She is going to be at Women of Wisdom, and we were just talking about, she has her oracle deck on the, let's see, what's the name of your oracle deck?
The Oracle of Initiation.
Okay, great. So you were sharing how, overcoming your fears and anxiety, and that was a huge initiation, you know, when you said your husband passed away. To recognize that you needed to claim that adventuresome spirit that you had. And so I want to touch then on that because one of your aspects of the workshop, but just your work in general, is that Artemis. which, you know, Jane Boland's coming to the conference, and she has a new book on Artemis. It's called The Artemis, the Indomitable Spirit in Every Woman. And I've interviewed her, and she talks about that's our really important archetype right now for women stepping into leadership, for women being social activists and all that. And so you're touching on that, too. So what is your draw to Artemis?
Well, you know, and it's a wonderful coincidence in some ways. I was not aware that Jean was writing that book. And when I put my proposal into Women of Wisdom, and when I saw that she was the keynote, and I have so much respect for her, I was just to the moon and back. So, yay, Jean, looking forward to all of your goodness. So for me, the Artemis piece, that also came through, that analogy came through when I was writing the Oracle book, this term Artemis Return. And it's a combination of the hunting goddess, who is wild and sovereign and virginal on the land, and then also the astrology term return, like your Saturn return, where there are phases in your life where you redefine everything that's happened. You look at what's come before, and then you decide if you want some course correction. And so that's really what happened after my husband died, was those parts of me that were afraid and constricted and overly concerned about what other people thought, those really needed some shoring up. They needed some shifting and some integration. And so when, after Chris died, I ended up going on that 7-year vision quest, falling in love with horses, traveling throughout the West, moving to Texas, doing workshops with horses. And this return to the land happened, and I'm a happy pagan. You just let me loose out in nature, and I'm a little kid. And that was really the safe place for me, and the place where I felt at home when I was a child was in the woods behind my house. And so as an adult, after Chris died, I had to figure out who I really was, and source that, because I was going down. I needed to resurrect myself. So I always knew that I loved nature. I always was very connected to doing art, and I loved adventure. And so that's where the vision quest really came out of, was, okay, you have wanted to die. You need to figure out how to want to live again. So let's go do these things that you know are core to yourself. And so the Artemis piece, the horses really brought me back to the land, was what they did. I thought it was about horses. I was going to have a horse ranch. Not so much. The horses brought me to all of these amazing places in the Southwest and in Idaho, Montana. And there became this freedom and this independence and this sovereignty that I had never even recognized. Maybe as a teenager, but a teenager doesn't have the wisdom that a woman in her late 30s, early 40s has. And my connection to the spirits of the earth and the animals and myself, it just exploded in this incredible way. And now it's my source. It's what I do. I go on the land by myself most of the time, and I walk and I commune and I connect and I make art. And that was really what the Oracle deck came out of. And so for me, the Artemis return is what. And it's not that men can't access this also, but men have different archetypes than women do. And for me, the Artemis archetype is about the Amazon women, the warrior women, love warriors, not just from a place of battle, Athena. This place where we know our power and we hold our space in our center. And so I think the Artemis is this really essential archetype for the wildness that's within all of us. And we can find that in many different ways. And she has many different archetypes that she calls forth, but that there is this time where people have been living half lives, and there's a vitality that's missing. And so for me, the wildness, part of the essentialness of that is nature and the wilderness. But it doesn't always have to be something that's totally wild. It can be your backyard. It can be a park, but it's touching into that sensuality and that connection and those cycles of the natural world and becoming fluid there and becoming a huntress.
Yeah, it touches in with many people that I've talked to on the show and I've shared too about just getting in touch with nature, you know, getting outside, taking a walk, touching a tree, getting your feet on the ground. I mean, I think that's one of the aspects in our culture is we don't get down to the earth, you know, really touching our earth, which really grounds us. And we learn so much from nature. And we're so, our lives are so busy. It's just, you know, it's like stop and smell the roses, you know, take that time. And then tapping into that, being aware of what you're tapping into, like you said, you know, tapping into that wild woman, that Artemis, that huntress, the woman who's going for it, you know, the arrow, you know, she draws her bow and arrow and directs that arrow to what she wants.
Exactly. And we've become really disembodied with all of the technology. And, you know, I'm on Facebook and I am on my computer and I take digital pictures. I'm not saying let's go technology free, but there needs to be more of a balance because we're up in our heads and we're not down in our bodies and our souls. And we need that to be balanced.
And I'm getting from you and others that a way to do that is to be out there in nature.
Absolutely. That's a piece of it. I also think art and divination, being connected to magic and the enchantment of the world, the illumination, recognizing that this reality is not all that there is, and so tapping into the many webs and layers of existence, to me, all of those things bring us back to that intuitive self, which is really the essential self. And from that place, then we can choose the things that bring us most alive, make us most joyful and vital and fulfilled, and then share that with the rest of the world. And we can let go of that story that only a few special people get to do what they really want because they're really lucky or really sparkly, and then everyone else needs to trade their life force for something they don't want to do. That's dying.
Yes, yes.
Well, we're
yeah, and we're changing that. You know, I think there's a big move on to make those changes, and it's exciting. I actually feel more hopeful than I've had in a long time, especially meeting some very intriguing, interesting, powerful activists who are millennials and who are just, you know, doing things their way, going, you know, not waiting for others to do it. Let's just do it. Well, thank you so much, Melissa, for being here today on my show.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's been delightful, and I can't wait for all the fun in February at the conference.
Yes. Well, check out Melissa's workshop. It's Monday, February 16th. It's called Artemis Return, Reclaim Your Wild Feminine Through the Oracles. And you can see her website at www.oracleofinitiation.com. And she has her oracle deck there for sale. It'll be at the conference, too. So also remember to look at all the events that we have on our Woman of Wisdom conference, February 12th through the 16th. Some amazing workshops, very gifted women leaders from the Seattle area, but beyond. We have people who travel here to be part of it, too. So mark your calendars and join us. And also, it is holiday time. I invite you to check out my book that I put together for Woman of Wisdom. It's called Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And it's a collection of many, many of the talks from the Divine Feminine, many viewpoints of Divine Feminine through art and poetry and stories. And the people who created the conference, their story, and so it's an inspirational book. I hear back from people that how much they've enjoyed it, and it's so think about that as one of your gifts to give to a friend and who needs some inspiration. So you can check that out on the Woman of Wisdom website. Just look for products. The book is there, and it also benefits Woman of Wisdom when you purchase a book. So. Yeah, we're coming to our end, and I just want to remind people to look at my website of what I do, which is www.chrysalisleadership.com. And I work on unleashing the powerful leader within and do consulting and coaching and circle leadership courses. So be sure to, I'd love for you to check that out. And next week, more guests from Women of Wisdom, Jelena Alpert, Regent Brown, and Keiko Osaki. So this is Chris Stanis. I'm so glad you were here today, and I look forward to talking to you again next week, and have a great weekend.
been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at AndrewTweetGeo. Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at yoandrewnts.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.